gotta go again. Record. Okay. So, I hope we're recording.
Okay. Alrighty, so we're on Perkei Avos Mishnah, Perek Aleph Mishnah Yud Beis. Okay? So the Mishnah says like this, Hillel v'shamay kiblu mehem. Okay, Hillel Omar, heve mitalmidav shel Aram. You should be one of the talmidim of Aram, one of the students of Aram. Okay? And what is that? Ohev shalom v'rodev shalom. Popular expression. Right? You should love peace and pursue it. Okay, Ohev is a brio, so mekarvan l'Torah. You should love the people, and you should draw them near to Torah. Okay? Okay, so take a look at Rashi. Okay, so Rashi says like this, Heve mitalmidav shel Aram, kolomar, heve lomed me Aram. You should learn from Aram. Shehaya Ohev Shalom. Because he was an Ohev Shalom. Okay? So if you learn... if you learn an idea from a person, then you are his student. Okay. The Rashi says, "Shenemar brisi hayisa ito hachayim v'ashalom." Okay, so this is a pasuk in Malachi. Okay, that my bris is with him for life and peace. Okay, so we'll come back to that because it's unclear why he's quoting this pasuk. Because if you look in Malachi, it's not talking about peace there. It has nothing to do with making peace between people. It has to do with that God's criticizing the people and the Kohanim for bringing karbanos that are not fit. Okay? Basically, he's criticizing the Kohanim for bringing karbanos that are not fit. And then the pasuk says that my bris is with the Kohanim, that they should have to act in a certain way, and they're not acting properly vis-a-vis the Kabbalos. Nothing to do with pursuing peace. Okay? So, but we'll come back to that. Okay? But let's just... Rashi says like this. Okay, now Rashi gives an example. He says, Kishahaya roe shenayim me'rivim zeim zeh. Very famous story, I'm sure everybody's heard it. That the it goes like this, that when he would see two people fighting, he would go to each one, shalom idas chavero, unknowing to the other one, and he would say to him, ploni, re'e lama atame revin ploni, why are you fighting with him? He says, halo hu nishtatach lefano yifisani, lavo etzlecha ledaber imecha alav. He feels very bad. Your friend feels very bad about this. He came to me to try to speak to you to make up. Okay? He says, and he would get the guy to want to make up with him because he would tell this story that the other guy who didn't do anything of that sort, that the other guy really wants to make up. So this guy would go, oh my God, really? I didn't realize. And then he would go to the other, well, you got to do it with the other guy because when he comes to him to try to make up, the other guy's, right? So you got to do it with the other guy. So you go to the other guy and do the same thing, right? And make them both feel that, oh, the other guy really wants to make up, right? And in this way, he would create peace. Yeah.
Quick thing. So what would be the outcome of that? So now they both, just practically.
Now they both would be
very... Oh, I heard you were apologizing. I wasn't apologizing. You heard you were apologizing.
I guess he would work it out. He'd have to work it out in some way, you know, where he'd soften them up. He would soften them up. But basically with this ruse, with this trick, he would trick them and soften them up. Okay?
Is she disconsistent in bringing up a line that's out of context that doesn't actually support the point?
Say that again, what?
Is she disconsistent in bringing up a line out of context that doesn't actually support her point? What do you mean? Says you could lie for peace.
Yeah.
So you're saying, oh, this pasuk says it promotes peace, and really doesn't.
This here,
the pasuk that he brings up, we said doesn't really support his point.
Right, doesn't support his point.
But he says you can lie for peace.
He's saying you lie for peace, right?
That's why he brings up the pasuk.
I guess, right? But basically, it's a good point. You're lying. I mean, he is lying, right. Telling a lie, but he's doing it for peace. So somehow or other, you know, that works. We don't, you know, why it works, but you're allowed to do it right. For some reason. Okay. Then he goes like this. Then he goes, he gives a second story. Okay? Kamokain hayim adavil. Okay, he says like this. He says, Amar echad li ishto. One, a person said to his wife, Konam she'ein nenes li achetaruk Be'eino shall kohen gadol. Okay, so a person made a neder. Then he asered, you can make a neder on yourself, but you can also make a neder to aser your things to somebody else. You could say that person is aser to be neder for me. And then he'll have a neder on him not to partake of anything of yours. It'll be an iser upon him to be neder from anything of yours.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
In other words, I could make a neder that I'm not going to smoke cigarettes. That's a neder on myself. But I could also make a neder that my cigarettes are also to you. Right? So in that case, you could smoke, just not my cigarettes. Okay? So I can make a neder ossering my objects to you. Okay? So this is what this fellow did. He made a neder that he restricted, he prohibited his wife from getting any benefit from him. Okay? He says, what a condition. The condition is, if she spits in the Kohen Gadol's eye, then it's mutter. Then the no iser hanah is applied. Okay? So that's the Tanai. He made a Tanai. So it says, Haya Aaron Shomea. Aaron heard this. And Haya Holech Eitzel Osaisha V'Haya Omer. So he went to this woman immediately and he says, Chashti Be'eini. I have something wrong with my eye. I have a illness, some kind of problem with my eye. Varok shalach refuah yeshbo. If you would spit in my eye, that your spit would cure this thing, right? So she obliged him. She spit in his eye, and then you know. That was it. That was the end of the fight between husband and wife. Okay? So...
He did not think he was going to win that one.
What's that?
Said he did not think he was going to win that one.
That's right. Okay?
But she was going to win.
She was going to win, right. Right. Exactly. That. You and then try to work this one out. Somehow, you worked it out, right? So therefore, you see, again, he did this, I don't know, outlandish, weird, whatever you want to call it, type of maneuver, okay, to create shalom between one person and another. Okay? So it seems like this was his derech, that he would go to all kinds of outlandish maneuvers in order to make peace. Then Adam Chavera. Okay, so now this is the lesson. The question is, what is the lesson that we're supposed to take from this? I mean, you know, if you're really going to, you know, walk away, you're going to apply this. I mean, I don't think that, you know, it doesn't seem sound like something so palatable. Like, you just feel like, would a person really do this? Could a person see himself doing this type of thing? Seems like there's something wrong with it. Like, you seem like a little, you know... Most people wouldn't really take to this. Like, it'd feel weird. Like, this. It doesn't seem like something that a person would do. You would feel that, you know, I'm such a big tzaddik. I mean, you know, like, who am I? Or people would look at him like, well, you know, what is this? Like, who are you? You're getting involved in this thing. You're the great, you know, tzaddik. I mean, mind your own business. You know, I think that if a person, you know, thinks about it, that's the reaction you would have. Like, you know, okay, you heard Aaron did it, Aaron Cohen. But the average guy, if you see the average guy do it, you say, hey, I got some kind of, thinks he's a tzaddik. Yeah.
I was going to also say, it's funny, especially the second case, like, it's a funny, like, remedy, because it doesn't sound like it's really... exactly addressing the problem, like this. Right. It's sort of like a trick, like this husband and wife need to work something out, clearly, you know. So this is sort of like a trick, but it's.
Right.
It's not really helping them. In this, on the surface, it doesn't seem like it, you know. It's like you think that Shalom would be talk to each other, explain your position, I don't know, something like work it out. Don't like.
That's true. That's true. You'd say, like, yeah, like, this guy is really, like, obviously there's something wrong with this guy, like, you know,
the husband.
The husband, and is this really repairing anything substantially?
Right.
I mean,
right. He's probably going to do it again in another.
Right.
You know,
like, right. I mean, it requires a little follow up.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe this is the first step, but you definitely the some follow up is necessary. That's true. Right, and what is the difference? Why do you need the two cases? I mean, we already see from the first case he's willing to do outlandish things. I mean, what does the second case add to the first case? You know, he's willing to go to all extents and ruses and strategies to get people together. So, you know, you wouldn't put this past him either. He'll, you know, that seems in line with his strategy. If somebody has to spit in my eye to make peace, okay. You know, why is that? What does that really add to the picture? Yeah.
So, can you clarify the lesson that it's saying to learn?
That's what I'm asking. I mean, what really is the lesson? The person's going to do this? I mean, what's the idea behind? Is it just showing you? What is it showing you about him? I mean, is it showing you just how far he would go to create peace?
You mean saying you should learn? You should learn. Be a student of Aaron. You should learn from him.
Learn from him, and this
because
is
because he's a man of peace.
Man of peace.
And what did he do? This is what he did.
He did these outlandish things. So what is it? Is it just to show you how much he loved peace? I mean, okay. I mean, fine. You could say that, but you know, is there anything more than that? That you know, and is a person really going to employ this type of a thing? Yeah.
Just pointing out, it's an interesting lesson because why does it say like you should be one of the Talmidim? Because on the altar of Avos is like ideas. You should learn these ideas.
That's true.
Doesn't usually say that. Like,
why should you be Talmid?
There's something different going on here that they're saying you want to be like be a Talmid of Aaron.
Right. That's true.
Say like, oh, you shall murder something. Every other mission says it like that.
That's true. Okay. Well, why is it? I mean, maybe we could just try to understand why does it seem that he's going to, you know, it seems outlandish. It seems like there's a certain kind of thing you couldn't see yourself doing this. Like most people, why would most people not do this type of thing? I mean, obviously there's something unusual that he went to this extent to make peace, right? That most people wouldn't do this. They would not get involved to this extent.
This came at a real cost. I mean, this comes at like a shameful cost.
Cost to him.
Yeah.
Yes, this is somebody has to spin his eye.
Like in the case of the two other people and just whatever going over them.
People. Yeah. I mean, you run the risk of them, you know,
when someone's
realizing, hey, this is crazy. You know, what'd you do? You tricked us. I mean, you're going to major extent to have people make up. You know, the extreme that he went to have people make up. I mean, what does that? You know, I think it's indicative of something.
He didn't care about his cover, clearly.
What's that? He did not care about his cover. That's true. That's true. But the thing is that, in other words, there is a thing. Most people, when you see people fighting, you don't really go to these extremes or get so involved in somebody else's business shows you that it's not really that, it doesn't really bother you that much. In other words, if you see two people fighting, you know, you may, okay, try to do something, but basically the attitude in your mind is like, you know, what do you want? I mean, this is not my business. I mean, this is their business. But the thing is that when you see a person fighting, I think part of the reason why it doesn't affect you personally is because there is a certain emotion, there may be a certain feeling that you're not so upset that people are fighting. It's something that you may actually really feel a certain kind of vicarious enjoyment. In other words, when you see a person fighting, there's a certain feeling that you may not dislike it that much. There may be some kind of vicarious enjoyment. You know, aggressive feeling that a person has, and he sees when other people fight, he gets some kind of enjoyment out of that. So he's not going to necessarily promote that type of thing, but if it goes on, he could, you know, he's not rushing to repair breaches in people's relationships, you know, because a person basically has an underlying aggressive tendency, and even if he doesn't carry it out himself, if other people carry it out, he could, you know, it gives him some form of entertainment.
Free boxing match.
What's that? Boxing match. You go to, you pay money to go to a boxing match. I mean, here, you know, okay, these guys are fighting, like, it's free entertainment. Certain kind of feeling of, good feeling. You know, you may not want to admit it to yourself, but there is a certain kind of enjoyment of that. You partake of that, what they're fighting about, you partake of those emotions, really. And that's why a person's not going to, may make some feeble effort to help out, but he's not going to really knock himself out to get them to be friends. He's not going to totally knock himself out, because he partakes of that aggressive emotion himself. But if a person wouldn't partake of the aggressive emotion at all, then perhaps you'd have the reaction of Aaron.
Why, though? Isn't that more of a positive bothering?
That's the question. In other words, why should it really even bother you? Right. Aaron was more than just, he didn't partake of it, he didn't get it, he was indifferent to it. It really hurt him personally. It really bothered him tremendously if people were fighting. That's why he could go to such crazy extremes. The average guy is just indifferent. Okay, he might think it's a bad thing. He may not even enjoy it. But he would not necessarily go to some such extremes.
Well, even not with the extremes thing. The person who's indifferent to it just doesn't really care. It's like, okay, do whatever you want.
Okay, listen. Yeah. This, you know, I have better things to do. You guys want to fight?
Right, I'm not going to sit here and watch you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. So sometimes a guy will be inactive because he's actually partaking of it. But you could argue that maybe a guy's inactive, he's not partaking of it, but okay, he's indifferent. Right? But the thing is, why would it really bother a person?
Two things?
Yeah.
One is if a person just has a value of peace and they just think there should be peace.
What is that value of peace? Yeah, that's what we want to know. Apparently that is a value. What is that value?
I don't like disturbance. That could be an empathetic thing, though.
He doesn't want to be disturbed. See, that's the thing. That if peace is a personal thing, I don't want to be disturbed, you see, then it's in my self-interest, you see. Mm-hmm. Then my self-interest may be to have some entertainment today. That's not disturbing to me. I rather enjoy this fight. You know what I mean? But it's possible for a person to be on a different type of frame of mind, mm-hmm. where he's not. It is not, peace is not because of his self-interest. Peace is because it's a love of the system. You see, if a person is involved in appreciation of God's chachma, then he enjoys that he's on a level, he's on a universal level. He's not on the level of the petty and the personal. He's gone to a level where he enjoys the system that God set up. And he enjoys that people should be benefited, should be in a state of benefit. That's his enjoyment. And when he sees that people are arguing, it goes against his sense of a universal good. His sense of Avas Hashem, that there's a system that God set up, that really this is a beautiful thing, that you should have a people that are operating the way the society was designed to operate, and that they could live in harmony. You see, a person like that really is tremendously bothered by any discord. Okay?
Isn't this part of the system, though?
The what?
When people fight. People have certain nature and free will also. They're
That's
expressing
right.
it the way they want. It's part of the system.
Okay. That is part of the system. That's the way God designed man to have aggressive emotions, and fighting is inevitable.
Right. Exactly. Whenever a society where people don't fight,
it's impossible.
It will happen.
Man's nature is aggressive. He's going to either take it out directly, or if he sees other people taking it out, it's a perfect opportunity for his outlet of his aggression. So that is, a person should enjoy that, should say, this is the system, this is what God created, let me observe. Right? So what's the answer? I mean, right, it is definitely true that this results from what God created, but this is not the objective. Okay, it is true people have aggressive emotions, but the purpose for the aggressive emotions was not to take out on your fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a distortion. The aggressive emotions have a powerful purpose, and the purpose obviously is because aggression is needed to conquer things, to conquer your own nature, to conquer the earth, to create, be creative. You need aggressive energy, okay? But and that aggressive energy should be directed at yourself also, to improve yourself, you see? So, but aggression against other people, that wasn't really why God gave you those instincts. Your job is to harness the instincts and direct them properly. So what bothered Aaron was not that the person has aggression. That's a good thing. But that they are directing it improperly to be destructive, using their instincts for a destructive purpose. He said, this is destroying what the system, the beautiful system that God created.
Man was designed with an ability to go against his objective.
That's what? To go against his own... to go against and mold his instincts properly.
Right, but I'm saying the objective of his instincts, there's a certain objective to his instincts, and he was designed with the ability to go against that objective.
Well, the objective of the instincts, when you say objective of the instinct is an aggressive instinct. Now, what you use it for is determined by what your purpose is, what you determine the right objective of man. Right? If the objective of man is to be creative, mm-hmm. So then you use the aggressive instinct for creativity. The same instinct that the person has used for a destructive purpose, you can use for a constructive purpose. A person goes out and uses aggressive instinct to build. That's aggressive instinct also. You're changing the status quo. A person uses that aggressive instinct not against people, but against, in order to mold nature the way he wants it. That's a tremendous thing. The person didn't have that instinct, he couldn't get moving. So that's a tremendous instinct. But it was implanted in man for some purpose. Now, I could take any instinct and use it for a destructive purpose. So you're not going to say that if I see a person involved in a distorted use of his instincts, that, okay, this is the order God wanted. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the case with any part of man's nature. Okay? So therefore, but that's what bothered him, that the person was taking a part of his nature and utilizing it for something that would be destructive to society and ultimately destructive for himself. That could bother a person if he's on a level, on an objective level. where he's in pursuit of Avas Hashem and enjoyment of Chachma. But if a person's all of his energy is directed to the petty, the competitive, and the social, it's very hard to see how two people fighting is going to bother him.
Otherwise,
so I didn't bring any money. I don't have any money. But if you come to my house later, I can give you. Okay.
Bring my wallet. So,
Okay.
Okay.
Right, that was the thing. That's the thing. That's really why he couldn't tolerate it. But the average person is not motivated by that. Alright. So what about what about why you need to? Why do you need the? Yeah, get it.
Is he so unique like that? Wouldn't anyone who is Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Kiva, like that seems like?
That's a good point.
Like a, I don't know. Doesn't seem like a one. Like there's one person like that.
That's a good point.
It seems like anyone who really understands.
Right, would have that.
I mean, a very high level.
Right.
It's true.
I'll tell you an interesting thing. I just remember the somebody reminded me that I once sent them this article. They have in the Freud's what do you call it? The volumes of Freud. They have a correspondence between Einstein and Freud. Very interesting. What happened was in the 30s there was an organization. For the correspondence of promoting correspondence between different scientists or intellectuals in different fields. So they approached Einstein and they asked him, could he pick a topic of social interest that he should pose a question of social interest to another leading scientist, okay, and he should pose that question to a leading scientist and have correspondence with that scientist. So he posed a question. Interestingly enough, talk about a person that's removed from the petty and the everyday mundane. Okay, the question he posed is it possible to achieve in society a state of peace, the abolition of war? Is such a thing possible? To abolish war from society. That was his issue that he brought up. So it's an interesting thing, because that's really a person that is removed from the petty and the personal. That's something that's on his mind that bothers him, that society is constantly at odds. Okay? So it shows you, it's in line perfectly with this memory. But anyways, what he chose Freud to address this question, because he said, he gave a short thing. First he said that in his opinion, he said it's not possible, because man's nature is aggressive. And no matter what you do...
This is Freud's answer?
What's that?
This is Freud's answer?
No, this was Einstein. Einstein said, before I address him, I can tell you my own thing is, that basically he said, you know, we have to set up universal governments and this, but the crux of the thing was that what you're fighting against is man's basic nature. And he said, I don't really have a full understanding of man's basic nature, but I think that's where this whole thing depends upon, what man's basic nature is and if it could be changed. So he says, since I don't really have an understanding, I'm going to defer to a person that I believe would be able to clarify, who has the most knowledge of the inner workings of man. So that's why he addressed the issue to Freud. Okay. And basically, Freud responded that very little I can add on to your comments already, because your comments really are the crux of the matter. He said that basically that war results from man's innate aggressive nature. and he has an innate aggressive nature, and therefore you're always fighting against that tendency in man. That's why you never find any significant amount of time in the history of man where there was peace. There was always some war somewhere on the globe. So he said that this really seems, it really seems almost impossible to ever hope for a state where we will have a state of real peace. But he says, interestingly enough, he says the only way, and this may be a utopian dream, but he says that the only way that it would be possible is if man could raise himself to a level where his main appreciation is in reason and thought. That's what he said. He says, because in the instinctual life of man, aggression is, it's not possible to overcome it. But he said, if man would redirect his instinctual towards thought and appreciation of reason, then it would be possible. So it shows you an amazing thing. I mean, that's exactly the lines that the memory is going on. That insofar as a person is involved in this everyday mundane, it's unavoidable. He has to be. He has to take enjoyment of aggression because it's part of his basic makeup. He said the only way that a person can get out of that is if his interests lie in a more universal sphere, in the area of God's chachma. Then his interests have been diverted to the non-personal. Amazing thing. So he considered that utopia. Okay, but we know it's not really the case that world peace is possible. That's really the idea of Mashiach. Okay, but it has to be along these routes. The routes that it has to take is along the route of removal from the personal.
Is it possible for society as a whole to be engaged?
It seems, because that's the idea of Mashiach. That in Mashiach, that's what it says, that people will have an appreciation of God's system and God's chachma, and they'll have a love of that, and therefore they'll be able to eradicate corruption and iniquity. I mean, that's the idea. That is one of the ideas of Mashiach.
With any individual who isn't involved in like petty things, that's the reason.
That's right.
So individuals can do it.
That's right. Where a person has an appreciation of.
It's not that they're removing their aggression totally.
That's right.
Their aggression.
It's redirecting. That's right. Exactly. You can't change your nature. I mean, that's part of your makeup. But it's redirecting those emotions. So I just wanted to. I'm going to get back to your. It's a good question. Why our own? Because it's an interesting thing. If you look at the end of this Rashi, he does sort of address that. Because he says, V'alkein nemar bo v'yivku es Aaron shloshim yom kol beis Yisro. The entire nation mourned Aaron. Echad anoshim v'echad noshim b'mashma. U'b'moshe lo nemar el b'nei Yisro. K'dusi v'yivku b'nei Yisro as Moshe. So apparently Moshe was not Mitamid of Shel Aharon, right? I mean, he didn't enact these type of measures, and the people sensed that there's a difference between Moshe and Aharon. So it's a good question. I mean, if this is really the perfect state of man, so why only Aharon?
Seems like not necessarily the type of thing that's an imperfection in you to not pursue peace among other people. I mean, it's. I guess it would be like a perfection to do that, but I wouldn't. You know, like. It's not like you're. Like making like a mistake you know, by not, you know, pursuing the road of Shalom. Like, okay. You can have like a complete, I mean, you can have a complete system of Chachma and live a life of Chachma and forego this, and there'll be like repercussions, but it's not like you're really, it doesn't mean you're steeped in, you know.
In tithe.
Yeah.
What are you saying? You mean you can have the ideas, but maybe not act on it the way he did?
Yeah, and it doesn't really directly infringe. Like, not being an Aaron doesn't infringe on your overall system of Chachma as a whole.
If you don't take the next step of acting on it,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm. Well, maybe you could say, I mean, along those lines. In other words, why, if a person really is perfected, right, and he sees strife, so then the question is acting upon it. It would definitely bother him if he's perfected. If he has a state of perfection and he sees strife, it should bother him. It should bother him. The only thing is, it could be that to carry out, to act upon it, depends on your role. Are you in a position? You have to be in a position to act upon it. In other words, you can't just, not everything that bothers you could you run out and act on. Depends what your position is. If you're in the position to do that, then of course Moshe would have done it. You see, but apparently who was in the position to do it? Aram. Moshe wasn't in that position. He had a different, apparently he had a different role. But in other words, it bothered him just as much. It would bother him just as much. But not everything that bothers you are you in a position to carry out. You have the opportunity has to exist. Just to run around and do something, you may not be accomplishing anything. So maybe that's the thing. In other words, Moshe's role, that wasn't really Moshe's role, to go and implement the system. His role was, he was the one that took care of giving over the system. But Aaron's role really was to implement. He was the implementer. So therefore, he carried it out. But from the fact that he carried it out shows us what that mita is. In other words, if Aaron was not in the role to carry it out, so then we wouldn't be able to have observed the mita in action. You know what I mean? But Moshe simply was not in that role. That wasn't his role. Were he in that role, he certainly would have carried it out. But he had a different job. I mean, a person can't do every job. Right? I think. But in terms of, if he had that job, he certainly would have done it. He would have been fully qualified, just as qualified as Aaron, to do the job. Right, you have to say it that way, because otherwise, right. It's like the case of Einstein. What happened before they gave him this opportunity? He didn't care about peace? Yeah, it bothered him a lot, but he was not in a position, he didn't have the avenue to do anything. But if somebody offered him the avenue to pursue this goal, of course, he would pursue it. He didn't turn them down. He's very happy to use this as an avenue to perhaps promote then world peace. Right? So that's the thing. You know, as the person, right, you can have the meter, but you don't, just because you have the meter, you don't run out and do every single thing. You have to have the situation has to present itself where you could be effective. So Aaron had it. Right. Yeah.
Are you going to come back to the other, whatever the question? Is this really the best way for Shalom in the first place? I mean, like we're saying. I mean, you're just like kind of avoiding the problem.
I mean, with the house
just tricking them out of the problem, but they obviously have some interpersonal issue to deal with.
I mean, is this really...
I mean, well, let me ask you this. What's the difference between what about... why you need the two examples? Why do you need the two examples? Why do you need an example that Aaron did with the two friends that were fighting? And then you have they give you a second example where he allowed the woman to spit in his eye. So why do you have to have two examples of this? I mean, basically, it's the same exact... what's the difference between those two pursuits of peace? I don't know if that'll clarify the issue, but at least... what would you say in that case? What would you say the idea is there?
Why two cases?
Why have the two cases? What's the difference between two cases?
What are the cases again?
Now, so one case is that two friends were fighting and Aaron went to each guy and told him, oh, the other guy really likes you, wants to make up with you, feels very bad. And told the second guy the same thing, so they made up. Mm-hmm. The second case was that the husband told his wife that all my possessions are asur to you, you can't be nene from me, unless you spit in the car and got his eye. So I went over to her and made like he had a disease in his eye, that the spit's going to help his disease.
So what? Two cases?
Why need those two cases?
Well, I guess they demonstrate two levels. I mean, one in terms of just like the second case, it comes at a cost to Aaron. The first case doesn't.
Right.
You know, Aaron's just to promote the singing. And the second thing is even at a cost to yourself.
Okay. That's good. Now, as the first case, you say, illustrates that he's above any type of strife. He doesn't partake of the emotion of the competitive feeling of aggression against others. He doesn't partake of that. He's above that. But really, the second case, it's a different kind of emotion. You may be above that, but you're not going to let a guy spit into your eye. Like, that's a degradation of the self, the person's own self-image. He may have his own self-image. He doesn't want to sacrifice. It bothers him, the fighting, but why should I lose my own self-image because this guy's a mashugana? So it shows you in both elements, the self-image, the ego. He was above any type of personal ego and above the aggressive enjoyment.
Plus he expressed aggression toward Aaron, even.
What's that? He's aggression against Aaron, that's right. He allowed himself to be the victim. Victim.
Why the husband could pick anyone, he picked
Aaron. Right, that's a good point. The guy that's true, very good. In other words, the guy is aggressive against me. He's attacking me. Right, a guy a lot of times will try to make friends when he's not this victim of the attack. Okay, I can be objective. This is crazy. Why are you two guys fighting? Make up. But if a guy is coming after me, that's already a little more difficult for a person to be objective. The guy was spitting in my eye. That's a good point. Right, because I guess really the person could fight, the person could get involved in emotional fighting for aggression, but also for his ego, for the ego. So he really was moved from both of those. Alright. But the thing is, I would say with regard to your thing, that's what it's saying. It's saying that he was removed from those petty emotions on both spheres, in terms of the aggression and in terms of the ego, the self. Now it's just giving you an illustration to show you what went on inside of him. You know what I mean? How he related to people. Now, therefore, the main thing is not his method. How brilliant his method of therapeutic method was vis-a-vis people. Whether he could work, you know, go to the husband and undo his problems. What were his abilities in the area of psychological therapy? You know, that may not have been his area, but it's showing you his his attitude towards peace. You know what I mean? So therefore, he employed that to get the husband and wife to take the first step. I mean, you can't do anything if the wife can't relate to the husband. You know, she's aser. As a halachic iser to benefit from the husband, there's nothing anybody could do. So he removed the impediments to repairing the relationship. Now, repairing the relationship, okay, we have to call in a psychologist and have somebody speak to the husband. That's not any more peacemaking. That's marriage counseling. He wasn't necessarily a marriage counselor. That requires specific skill. Right? But in terms of peacemaking, that apparently he had the desire to carry it out. It's showing you his desire, his level of perfection, that he, how much it bothered him that people would fight. You see, that's why really we can answer the pasuk in where was that?
Malachi,
right, because we said that Rashi brought in a pasuk of Malachi that God made a bris with Aaron for peace, but the Malachi was talking about that the God was criticizing the Kohanim that they brought sacrifices, kabanos, that weren't royal mizbeach. Okay? And what does that have to do with peace? Nothing to do with peace. Criticism is that the Kohanim don't have an appreciation of kabanos and mikdash. So, but now you could see that this is the thing, because the idea of peace is not an essence. You should be a person that loves peace. There is no pursuit of peace per se. The pursuit of peace is a result of a person's appreciation of Avas Hashem and Chachma. It's a result. So that's why the pasuk makes sense. Because the fact that the Kohanim brought karbanos that weren't fitting meant that they were attached to their own possessions, their own materialistic desires. And the mikdash, the idea of Avas Hashem, was not really that important to them. A person that's involved in his own materialistic desires, that's a person that does not love peace. That's a person that's at odds with other people. So that's really what's showing you, that the pursuit of peace is not a direct one. You can't say, hey, I'm going to be a peace lover. There is no such thing as a peace lover. Not possible. Because a peace lover means it's not in my self-interest. The egoistic desire of man is not peace. So you're going against his whole motive for everything. There's no such thing as a peace lover. There is a person that loves a harmonious order in the universe. That's in line with the love of God's design. That you can have. And peace is an outgrowth of that. But there's no such thing as a person that just loves peace. Can't be. No emotion like that. There's a love of order. And chachma, that there is a emotion for. You see, so that's really what's telling you. That's why it's Talmid of Shalaram. You can't be... Talmid of Shalaram means his desire for peace stems from a different source. Don't think you could run after peace directly. Not possible. That's why if a guy or an average person tries to use these methods, crazy, extreme methods, it seems weird to him. Like, what am I doing? Yeah, because he's running after peace directly. That's a false thing. That's a phony. That's like a phony guy that wants to be the peacemaker, an egoistic, another type of egoistic goal. You know what I mean? But there is no such thing as per se a peacemaker. It's a result of pursuing a greater goal, being on a remove yourself from the material, from the petty, and then you naturally be a peacemaker. But you can't be a peacemaker and involved in competitive and petty emotions. Not possible. That's enough.
The reason why it says Talmudav instead of
That's very good. No, because it's ideas. Very good. And don't just be a follower of Aaron. Don't say, like, follow Aaron's way, because then it would indicate I could train myself somehow to be a peacemaker. No, it says Talmid of Shalara. That means there's ideas. It means a person should pursue that the Chachma that Aaron pursued. You know what I mean? Then you'll have the desire for peace. But you can't be directly following Aaron's way. That's not possible. There is no way like that. Following Aaron's derech. That's not a derech, running after peace. That's a result of the fact that he was not in, that he was removed from the petty. So that you could learn. That is a way to learn that frame of mind. Because that's really pursuit of Chachma.
You couldn't just say Rodev Shalom.
Yeah, then you're running after peace. How are you running after peace? Who are you? You're a competitive guy and you're running after peace. You're a petty guy and you're running after peace. can't be. But it means that your relationship to knowledge should be one where it's an appreciation of knowledge per se, not a desire for competitive, I'm going to be the smartest guy or whatever. You should have an appreciation of knowledge and God's system. Then you'll remove yourself from the from that frame of mind, from the petty frame of mind. So that's very good. That's Talmid of your Talmud, learning an idea, ideas. Yeah.
What about in terms of lying for the subjective?
That's a good question. What about lying? Guy loves ideas, but he's a liar. Loves the truth. I'm a lover of truth.
What do you even lie for it?
Right. It's a good question. Alright, maybe we'll
if it became true.
What's that?
It became true.
That's true. It became true. He really did. You see, he really wanted you to make up.
That's like with the get, right? Yeah. Priest knew you really wanted to get the get.
You really wanted to. Mm-hmm. No, I told you wanted to. That's a good question. White lie. It's a white lie.
But where's that even from?
Alright, maybe we'll take it up next time.